Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
The beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. At an undisclosed location. Just to keep poachers away. It is great to be with you on a Friday. I know Kevin considers it a true Good Friday.
Poachers?
Because, well, when you see the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio, you'll understand what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I'll take your word for it.
2 weeks from today, you'll be here.
Yes, I will. Looking forward
and
to it.
And I'll be where you're sitting.
Okay, great. As long as we're not in the same room, that's good.
Well, look, the president and the vice president don't travel together.
I think there's a slightly different reason for that, but, you know, just a guess.
All right. Well, let's talk a little men's volleyball to start out. Okay?
I'm good with that.
Well, you have no choice.
That's true.
It's not the Kevin Hirsch show.
Oh, I know that.
Does your son understand that yet?
Yeah, he's actually in studio today, ironically enough.
He is?
He is.
Well, I can't wait to have the young lad on.
All right. Oh, no. He's busy on his iPad or on his iPod. He's in good shape for a good while.
It's all right. No. I have some questions.
No.
It's okay. They're just sort of filling the blanks.
Hey, all volleyball. Right.
Mark Pavlik's the head coach of the Nittany Lions, have won one national championship in his tenure. They've been to the Final Four 14 times, 18-3. We welcome Pav to the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors Studio. So how well are you playing right now as you head into the weekend with Sacred Heart and Harvard?
I really do. Yeah, you're right. The conference, the NCAA has added a men's Division III national championship. So now it's kind of taken the whole NCAA collegiate championships that used to exist up to this year and has given Division III their own championships to play against similar type institutions. And I think that's absolutely great for men's volleyball, certainly great for Division III. What that has done for the EIVA is it's kind of condensed us. Now we lose Juniata, Springfield, and NYU. We're down to eight teams. We'll be at seven after next year when Rutgers-Newark goes Division III. They're a Division III athletic department now. They had been, their men's volleyball program had been grandfathered as Division I, and once their scholarships are all cleared from the table, they'll join Division III. What's that done for the EIVA? It's just given everybody the opportunity to get better. And that's not taking anything away from Juniata, Springfield, or NYU, who, if you look back, we were in our EIVA championships several of the last years. We've been going into some places for the first time, Sacred Heart, Harvard, and the crowds that have shown up for our matches there have just been incredible. Sacred Heart, I think, had over 1,000 people, and when I asked, well, how close to average is this, to one of the women's players who was working the matches, she kind of started to laugh, and she says, well, I can usually count the ones on both hands that are here for all of our regular matches. So I think something's going on in the EIVA right now that's enabling the teams to get better, and if there was anything like last week's match against Princeton at Princeton, boy, those are going to be some fun matches to play in the future.
Eduardo, everything starts with your setter. Eduardo Goas has been, he's a veteran. Has he been able, Pav, to get to the point where he's an extension of you on the floor?
Well, I think he's probably more an extension of Jay Hossack. You know, Jay's kind of our offensive coordinator, and he and Jay have been on the same page since about, January. Last year was a great year for both of them. And I think Eddie's thinking a lot like Jay wants him to think and how we want him to attack a defense and use his talents. But you're right, Steve. As a fifth-year senior, when you can get a fifth-year senior setter involved in your program, and he takes it and runs with it. Things just get better and better, and right now Eddie's playing probably some of the best volleyball in his career over the last 3-4 weeks.
And what about the balance within the offense? I know I'll talk about Joe Sunder in a moment, but what about the balance within your offense right now and the selections that he has? Because one of the keys is to come at them from all angles. You just can't have one.
Right. You got to use the whole net, and you got to use the whole depth of court. And Ed's been real good at getting our right sides involved, certainly getting our middles involved, and he has been running our back row attack with some absolutely great decision making. And you know, we've had some opportunity to kind of spread the ball around, and that opportunity is really born from the rest of the hitters showing that they can take that responsibility and put balls away. It doesn't always have to be just one guy.
Let's talk about Joe Sunder now for a moment. What do you like that he's brought to the table? And also, an underrated part of the game that's not underrated to a coach, what kind of passer is he?
Absolutely. He is one of our most solid passers. In serve, receive, I wish people could have seen Joe fall semester his freshman year where he came in. He didn't pass a ton in high school. And you know, this long, gangly guy that really didn't understand. He had arms that could come together in a platform. And last January, a year ago January, we were at the Outrigger Invitational, and I was sitting with the UCLA coaching staff, and one of the coaches said, you know, they have a 7-foot sophomore out there. And the coach told me, he says, we're having him watch Sunder pass. And that's when it hit me how good of a passer Joe had become, because if you would have asked me 4 years ago, is Joe going to become a poster child for passing, I probably would have laughed. But he has worked so hard at mastering his platform, at being able to balance on serve, receive. He's such a good athlete, Steve, and I think he really applied that to his passing. And he is. He is truly underrated as a passer.
Now let's get to him up front. When he's in a position to attack, what does he bring to the table that you like and makes your offense effective?
Well, he's such a physical guy. He touches somewhere around 12 feet, and you know, everybody knows about him. It's not like he sneaks up on anybody. So the entire block and defense has to be aware of where he's at. And with Eddie in his fifth year, Eddie has achieved the ability to subtly influence the defense and the block, and all of a sudden when everybody says it's going to Joe, Eddie can make a good decision, get it to somebody else with one or no blockers up. But when we need Joe to put a ball away, he's been awfully good. And you look back in game 4 when we were down 2-1 against Princeton last Friday night, we won an extended game 37-35. I think we fought off 8 match points, and Joe put five of those 8 points away. So everybody in the gym knows he's going to get the ball at certain times, and Joe has just really responded well through that.
I mentioned Joe Sunder as a passer. Connor Curry has to be. How well has he played?
Oh, he has just really taken the libero position and has run with it. And the great thing about Connor is I don't think it's ever occurred to him that he has to play it like Dennis Del Valle did. You know, Connor redshirted last year, got a chance to spend the year with Dennis and watch and learn and ask questions, and now it's his. And he doesn't play it the same way Dennis does, but what Connor's doing defensively right now, and certainly with his serve receive, makes you kind of forget he's a freshman. He has been really the rock of our serve receive. You know, he can get our offense going or settle it down just by him contacting the ball.
At times, this is a generalization, but at times, men's volleyball can seem like men's tennis on grass. Bang, bang, okay, it's done in terms of the point. Thus, when you get a block, it's like gold. Aaron Russell up front as a blocker, how well has he done?
He's getting there. You know, I don't think we're a great blocking team overall. I think we're adequate. I don't think we strike fear in the hearts of anybody. But Aaron is a freshman, has really come to understand what's needed at this level from a middle blocker. And he's another guy who's athletically very underestimated. He moves really well. You look at him move, you look at him serve, you look at him just be athletic, and very similar to Matty Anderson, you don't realize he's 6'9". He moves so well and so quickly and so under control that there's this big guy that plays like a smaller guy. But when he gets up in front of a hitter and he's got time and he gets across the net, he is a big guy. And Aaron has just really started his first year with a bang and has just been consistent throughout the entire year with what he brings us, not only at the net, but also from behind the service line.
Nick Turco, how well has he played, Pav? At the same time, how effective has that serve been for him this year?
Nick's been our best server, Steve. And we try to get him starting off every game, giving him the opportunity to serve first so he can get on a run at some point throughout that game. And Nick is an engineering major, very analytical. So the one thing with Nick is he understands the mechanics of his serve, and he can self-correct probably better than anybody else we have on the team. If something doesn't feel right, he can pinpoint exactly what he has to do to change it. And at some point in every game, we're going to get a run of points that's really kick-started by Nick serving. Offensively, he's not the biggest guy. Maybe 6'5" and a half if you stretch him. But he's got such a quick arm. And again, I think that analytic mind of his, he understands what he has to do to be successful. And he's got such a quick arm that if he's up on time and Eddie can get him the ball, which Eddie's been doing a pretty good job of, more often than not, he's going to put the ball away on that first swing.
Nick Goodell, you've for the most part you've started him, but a few times you brought him off the bench. What do you like about him?
He is another athlete that just moves well, controls his body real well, and he's just learning to play the game. He's got such a good arm. He can get on the ball with some pace and touches probably, I think last time we measured him, he was touching somewhere around 11.4, 11.5. So he can get up in the altitude that we need him to get up in there and bang away at that ball. He's a terminator. And Nick is, as I said earlier, he redshirted last year, so he's still learning the position of opposite, still learning the game and the way it needs to be played. But there are some times where athletically he does some things, makes a move defensively or gets his feet to a ball offensively that you just shake your head and say, you know, that's a pretty impressive move by a darn good athlete. Plus, he's a Western PA kid. And there's just something about the Western PA competitiveness that, you know, you almost see him at any point when he's on the court, be it in practice or in a game, looking across the net and saying, "You think you can beat me? You think you can beat me?" I think he brings a little bit of an edge to the team, which I think serves us well.
Do you like the balance of this team, and are they a cohesive team?
This team has been tight. At least that's what they tell me. And maybe the best example of that, back in February, we were heading up to play Harvard and Sacred Heart. So we leave here Thursday night about 5:30 after classes. We bus up. We just get onto Route 84 to head up north, and the bus dies. So get it all straightened out. I got to tell the guys that, what's going on? Guys got some good news and bad news. And they all just kind of perk up in the back of the bus and they say, "Okay, give us the good news." Good news is we're getting a new bus. So, okay, what's the bad news? Bad news is it'll be here in about 3.5 hours. Now, with other groups of 18 to 22-year-old young men, I'm just ready for the grumbling and moping and, you know, just the whining of, why do we have, how do we, it's going to be 12:30. They went back to play in their games. We stopped the bus stop that we stopped at was like a Tom's convenience store in the middle of nowhere. As half the guys were staying in the bus playing cards, the other half did science projects. They got Mentos and Diet Coke. But didn't hear a single bit of whining from this group, which kind of leads me to believe that they really enjoy being together. And even through the tough times and in the gym, on the bus, on the court, I think there's something there that makes this team stronger than maybe some we've had in the last 3-4 years.
We're with Mark Pavlik, the head volleyball coach of the Nittany Lions. They have Sacred Heart and Harvard coming up this weekend. And they will square off at Rec Hall. And Sacred Heart's the first one in. You want to build as the season goes along. You see a level of play in January. You follow that up with a level of play in February, March, and now April. Give us an idea the level you're playing at now compared to the other months of the season.
We had a little bit of a dip at the end of March, and we're just coming out of it. And I think a lot of it was just the standard rhythm of the school year for the guys. Once spring break hits and the weather starts to turn and the midterms start to load up and the projects start to get heavy, and you're walking out of the gym saying, "Oh, geez, I've got all this to do." I think it takes its toll. And we've over the last 2 weekends, last weekend and this weekend, we've really started to pull out of that. Certainly this week in the gym, they looked really fresh. There was last night in practice. There we had a really good practice. They're jumping well. They're being real dynamic right now. Now, from there to transfer over to, can we worry about our side of the net? This group has always been effort conscious this year, and we're asking them to not necessarily focus their energies on the effort that causes sweat in the gym, but to focus their energies on the mental part. What do we want to do? What do we want to take away from Sacred Heart this weekend? What do we want to take away from Harvard this weekend? How do we want to do that on the court? And last night, we saw some signs that not only were they sharp physically, but mentally they were into our game plan pretty well last night. And the other benefit of this weekend, Steve, we win both. We clinch the EIVA championship and get to host again at the end of the month,
which is huge. And after you're done, you've been on the road for such a long time. You have not played at home, I don't think, since March 3rd.
Right.
At home. I mean, you've been doing all of this on the road. You have these two. Then you go to BYU for a pair out in Provo, and then you have St. Francis before you get to the EIVAs. Just to get back here, give us an idea of the plus of that.
No, I just think it makes it so much easier on the guys. The routine is much simpler. It's something that they've done every day of their college career. They get up in their own beds. They're with their friends. They know what they're going to do class-wise. They know where they're going to eat. They know when to get to the gym. It's not like you're sitting in a hotel room waiting, looking at your watch, saying, "Okay, well, we're gonna go to the pass and serve practice. We're leaving here in 35 minutes. Okay, we're leaving here in 20 minutes." I just think it makes the whole day move at a more normal pace for them, and I think that it's a lot easier at home to get into your pre-match routine.
I know scheduling can be tricky. Why did you put BYU where you did?
Well, what we try to do, and all the men's volleyball scheduling is done by the coaches, so I plead guilty to this one. But what I'd like to do is we go January through all of April, and I'd like to get a top caliber weekend competition in every month. And January we had Stanford and UOP. February, we had Cal Baptist come in here, and then we were out in March at Pepin SC, and now we were able to get out there to play BYU in April, and it's kind of our final mile marker, so to speak. This is BYU is one of the odds-on favorites to come out of the MPSF this year. They've been playing really well, and playing at Provo for two matches is a tough task to begin with. So we're going to come out of there win or lose knowing some things about the team that only that type of competition at this point of the year can tell us, and it's going to make us so much better for the last 2-3 weeks of the season.
All right, Pav, appreciate it. And by the way, they'll play Sacred Heart tonight at 7. Harvard tomorrow, too, both at Rec Hall. The next weekend, Friday and Saturday, at Provo to take on BYU. Mark Pavlik, the head men's volleyball coach of the Nittany Lions, we thank him for joining us. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show with Kevin Herr absolutely in tow after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Playing with your iPad.
No, I have a tablet. I don't have an iPad.
Okay.
I have a tablet.
And what are you doing on that?
Actually, going through the Steve Jones Twitter feed, which you can follow at Steve Jones PSU.
I probably ought to tweet.
You should probably follow it, too.
So I keep you track of what I'm tweeting?
No. Well, no, we follow quite a lot of other informational sources, so our Twitter feed is quite extensive.
And Fred Couples, by the way, has had another great round today. The 92 Masters champion is at 5 under par.
Wow.
How about that?
That's not bad.
Fred Couples, was he 53, 54 years old?
Yeah.
92 Masters champ, always plays Augusta well. He's doing it again. Now, next week, Penn State baseball will take on Bucknell. How about that?
That is correct.
It is the next week. And one of the players you'll see for Penn State is Joey DeBernardis. He's a senior third baseman out of Illinois. He has a career .338 hitter. He's hitting .282. He's been scorching hot at the plate of late. Tonight, Penn State takes on Canisius for the first of a three-game weekend series before they get going with Bucknell next week. We bring in Joey DeBernardis right now. And Joey D., you have been the king, my man, without question, of the ping pong table that's located just outside the elevator on the clubhouse level. What has made you so good over the years at that thing?
Well, I mean, a couple of years ago, I was probably the best I've been, but I actually haven't played at all this year. It's kind of new in a pitcher's duel down there at the ping pong table. All the pitchers are always down there having tournaments. But a couple of years ago, me and Elliot Sear and Ryan Clark, my two other roommates, we spent a lot of time, and I think I'm a little ahead of them right now in overall record. And then kid who graduated, Lou Piccone. I used to beat him all the time, and nothing better than beating Lou in anything. So I got to get that back down there and start playing again, get my stride back in ping pong.
Now, you haven't pitched in 2 years, but right. You did pitch in 2010, and you only gave up one run in 3 1/3. You lobbied Jason Bell at all, like, give me an inning here and an inning there, or is life just too good in the infield for Joey D.?
Well, I mean, pitching 4 years in high school and taking lessons my whole career, I mean, I know I can get out there and do it and throw strikes and pitch, but, you know, JB has seen sometimes to say, hey, when do you want me to throw my pen? And he just kind of says that, oh, yeah, tomorrow, just joking around. But that 1 year, he just said, all right, let's do it. And then he liked what I had and gave me a couple opportunities, and I fortunately went out there and got the guys out. So I don't know if I'll ever pitch again, but if they ever needed me to, I mean, I'll be ready to go down there and throw a little bit.
From memory, what do you throw?
Fastball, curveball, changeup.
Not bad. What's the out pitch?
I'd have to go with my changeup. You can ask Strank about that one time when I faced him.
And you took Strank out with it?
I think I did, yeah. I still bust him about today, but he denies it.
Well, plausible deniability. I mean, let's face it, he'll say that the memory is tricky. Have you found now with the three-game losing streak, the clubhouse is a little looser right now for you guys?
With the winning streak, yeah. I mean, definitely. A lot of guys coming with positive attitude, you know, like laughing a little bit more. Everyone just more relaxed and focused, you know. we just have like that mentality that we're going to go out there and win. Like, we're never going to give up, whether we're down or up. Just going to play nine innings and hopefully come out on top.
You've already started Big Ten play, but with this streak and then Canisius coming in for three this weekend, should you have more success there, do you think that will now set the table for you to make a run in the conference?
Yeah, I mean, I think anything you start a winning streak, it could set the table for a conference, especially, you know, we obviously struggled at the beginning, but I think we just found our stride. I think every baseball team in the country goes through a losing streak, a winning streak, losing streak, but I think we finally found our stride, so we're looking forward to having Canisius in tonight and then next weekend against Michigan, but you got to take one game at a time, and that's tonight against Canisius, conference or non-conference, still a game that we got to win.
It's Joey DeBernardis joining us on the Nittany Lion baseball team. Appreciate the time he gave us. They'll play tonight at 6, and then they'll play tomorrow Canisius, and then Sunday with Canisius as well on Easter, and then it's Bucknell next week.
And we have a very patient man, Mike from Lewisburg, has been waiting a little bit, just dropped off the line. So, Mike, give us a buzz back, and I promise you this time you'll be able to talk to Steve.
Are you driving callers away now?
Listen, you talk to some people, I've been driving callers away since the program started. But.
Oh, brutal.
Hey, you know what?
Give us a call, Mike.
You know what I did see, talking about something we were chatting about earlier this week on quarterback rankings?
Yeah. Just hold on 1 second, okay?
Yeah.
The number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Okay, go ahead.
Good idea. Always good to get that out. I looked on NFL.com, and Jason Smith, one of the reporters for NFL.com, actually lists his top 10, top quarterbacks, not just the top 10, but he goes a little further. And, of course, this has to go with the conversation we had a few days ago about where Ben Roethlisberger fits into the scheme of things and, of course, where Flacco fits in, despite what he may think of himself. Do you want to take a guess where he has Joe Flacco?
In the top 10?
Not correct.
No, I'm saying, I was asking, you said it was the top 10. I said, just 10 quarterbacks?
No. Already? He went all the way through. He went all the way through with,
All 32
with
quarterbacks.
32 quarterbacks, yeah.
I'm going to say that he has Flacco rated 14th.
That's not a bad guess. He has him at 12. His comment was, here's our guy. Disappearing for 3 weeks at a time continues to kill him. Just when everyone thinks he's turned the corner, he vanishes faster than a Mega Millions winner.
Wow.
That's a little harsh, but...
That is harsh.
Now, can you guess where he has Ben Roethlisberger?
Six.
Three.
Three?
Three behind Eli Manning, Tom
Brady. I think
that's
that's a little high.
Well, here was his justification.
It's a little high. I mean, so I'm sorry. You give me Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, five.
You give me Drew Brees.
Four. And he said... Here's
sorry,
the reason.
I can't buy this.
Well, he said, I'm still taking him over the next two guys because I believe he'll win a playoff game in minus 45 degree weather before the other two will, and he's got two rings. So that's why I put Brees ahead of Rodgers.
Well, Rodgers plays in Green Bay, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. I mean, Rodgers should be used to weather like that, so that shouldn't be a big thing. But yeah. Drew Brees, I'll agree with that. I don't think he's going to be a cold weather guy.
He played at Purdue.
Yeah, but he's softened up since that time.
He played at Purdue.
He's softened up since then.
Oh, God.
I think his point was, he said minus 45 degree weather. Not just 45 degree weather, but minus 45.
Nobody performs well at minus 45. Nobody does.
No argument.
I mean, nobody does. Maybe Kyle does, but that's for a different reason. All right, let's go to Mike in Lewisburg. Mike, thanks for calling back. We appreciate it. I apologize to you for the wait.
Could you get me a pencil from... Oh, hello?
Yes.
I thought he wanted me to get him a pencil for a minute there.
Sorry about that. I heard you wanted me to call back because I was in the car. I was driving to the mall. I went to see your guys' studio.
Oh, the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you will have to be giving guided tours of that at some point, Mike.
Well, yeah, because I was always curious. You guys don't have photos up, and I was like, "What does that look like?" Because I'm a long time listener and first time caller.
Well, it's great to have you with us, Mike. Appreciate that. And the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. I'm actually in State College right now.
Oh,
and I will be going as soon as the show is over. You know, there was a lot of thought put into this show, Mike. There really was. And the time slot was put in at 3 to 5, and one of the reasons that they made it as a 5 o'clock cutoff to allow me to get to practice. And, for example, as soon as I'm done here, I'll be going to Penn State football practice.
Oh,
and
really?
And then that gives me a better read on what's going on with them, which then allows me to have a better read of talking to you about what the team can and can't do, does and doesn't do, and so forth. And that's one of the reasons why we scoped it out the way we did. And the studio, to be honest with you, could not be any nicer than it's the nicest studio I've ever been in.
You should see the humongous flat screen TV. It's just obnoxiously big. It's like 60 inches.
A 19-inch Sanyo here. I mean, it's, you know, that it has limited channels.
Really? Is that nice?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you guys are at... Wait. It's in State College?
I am, and he is in Sunbury.
I'm here at the Susquehanna Valley Mall.
Well, good. Okay. Well.
And I'm looking at this dude. Wait.
No, you're not. No, you're not. That's not it.
Oh.
Not us.
Oh, I am so sorry.
That's quite all right.
We understand, Mike. We understand. That's okay, though.
The question I really wanted to ask you was controversy over women playing and being members at Augusta. I wondered, like, your views on that.
Right, that's a great question. It's been a hot topic that's been brought up. I think, number one, I'd like to know exactly how many women have applied for membership at Augusta. And I hope there's a great number that have applied. And the door should be open. I don't want to tell the club what to do, but if a number of women have asked to be in, and I heard somebody talking about the chairman of IBM and that she should be allowed in.
Yeah, that was being discussed this week.
Right. But she barely plays golf. But to me, the door should be open to anybody. It's their club and they can do what they wish.
I understand that.
But if I'm on the committee, and they bring somebody before me and say, you know what? Perfect. I would vote yes in a heartbeat.
Oh, all right. Because I know there's a lot of controversy, and personally, my wife thinks that anyone should be allowed in. But, you know, It's old tradition.
It's old tradition, but you know what? We've had a lot of old traditions that we've broken over the years that actually have moved the country forward. And I think that this is another thing. It's a private club. They can do as they wish. But I think they would find that women would help push the club forward.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you for taking my time, and I'm totally sorry about that.
Oh, Mike, it was great to hear from you. We appreciate the time you gave us today.
Thanks, Mike.
Our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565.
You know, you make a good point. It is a private club, and it's very difficult to tell a private club what they should and shouldn't do. I mean, it's a difference between doing what you probably, what should be thought of as right, not necessarily forcing them to go ahead and take women members or whatever for that matter. It should be their decision, and they should want to make that decision. I think that's the point that you were kind of trying to make there, too.
Exactly. If I'm a member, and I don't know if I want to be a part of a club that makes me a member, but I mean, if I'm a member, okay, if I'm a member and they come to me and they say, look, this is what we'd like to do, I would like to say, hey, look, guys, any place is better when you bring in different schools of thought and diversity, any place is. You have to be financially among the elite anyway to get in there, which means you, in all likelihood, you've had great personal success. Well, someone with great personal success obviously has had a way of doing it that needs to be considered. And I think, we can't tell them what to do. They're a private club. I'm saying if I were a member, I know how I'd vote. But it would all be on an individual basis, though. I mean, they may bring in somebody and go, whew, no way. I don't like that person, whatever. Or just doesn't seem like, you know, the right way to go with that particular. Everybody's different, but if there was a possibility of pushing it forward, and I was a member, I would do everything I could for that.
Well, this club has had pressure about being politically correct, for lack of a better word, for many, many years, and it still seems to be a very big tournament. So whatever they're doing seems to be working that way.
Years ago, Martha Burke organized the protests down there. And you know what they did? They're so good and so powerful. They said, we'll do the tournament without sponsors.
Wow.
They did not want to put, I believe the primary sponsors at that point were Cadillac, Travelers, and IBM. I think those were three of the primary sponsors. And they did the tournament broadcast because they said, look, we don't want the negativity that's being focused on us right now to reflect upon our partners, Cadillac, Travelers, IBM at the time. And they said, because of that, we were not going to, quote, put them in harm's way. We'll do the broadcast without any sponsors. CBS has signed, I think, 51 one-year contracts. It's only a one-year contract with Augusta National every year.
That amazed me when you said that the other day. I never believed that. I never would have believed that.
They only allow, and because of that, they have total control of the broadcast. Right? For example, Jack Whitaker, the great Jack Whitaker, as they were charging across the fairway, referred to the patrons as a mob. Never allowed to broadcast again at Augusta National.
Wow.
Right?
Patrons, by the way, I've learned is the word to use.
Well, that's the word they want.
Right.
Gary McCord was commenting on the speed of the greens at Augusta National. And he said, it's like they put bikini wax on it. Gary McCord has never been allowed to broadcast a Masters since.
I did not know that.
This is the power that they wield over these 51 one-year contracts. And they prefer the word patrons, thus you hear them. You will not hear the word patrons used at any other event during the course of the year. Excuse me, a Consol Energy Center when the Penguins play the Flyers, those aren't patrons. Okay?
It truly is a tradition unlike any other.
But because of the contract, they have control. The next part they control is they want 56 minutes of golf every hour. 56 minutes of golf every hour. And these are the rules by which everybody has to play with if they take the Masters as their tournament. Now, CBS, the one that's won out third and fourth round every year, obviously ESPN's doing the first two rounds. But they're subject to the rules I just talked about, plus they are using the CBS announcers. Obviously, they think the world of Jim Nantz, and Jim Nantz is a class act. You know, somebody you'd like to meet and talk with, and he and I have a common bond because I've talked with him about this before, about the fact that his father's going through Alzheimer's, mine passed away of it. So he's a class act. You know, Nick Faldo, you know, he's won the event three times, so obviously he's more than acceptable. Vern Lundquist, yes, sir.
No matter if somebody's on the green or not.
Right. But he wasn't the first one to say that.
Oh, really?
When Nicklaus was charging in 86. Okay?
Okay.
He was not. I'm trying to remember who the heck was on 15. I don't think it was Ben Wright. It may have been Ben Wright, who said yes, sir, on 15 when he dropped a putt. And then on 17 when he did it again. That was the famous one.
Well, Ben Wright's always known for, oh, he should have had it. on a near miss.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he should have had it.
Maybe. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show after this.
At not-for-profit hospitals, doctors focus on doing what is right for patients, not doing more procedures to earn more money. I'm Dr. Glenn Steele, President and CEO of Geisinger Health System, with a continuing discussion on improving health care. Not-for-profit health care organizations make decisions with patients in mind, not shareholders. They reinvest revenue where it belongs, into facilities, equipment, and services to improve care and better serve the community. Our country has excellent not-for-profit and for-profit healthcare organizations. As we work to improve healthcare quality and lower costs, we all need to focus on putting patients first. A healthier America is within reach. For Geisinger Health System, I'm Dr. Glenn Steele.
At Comfort Specialists, they know that when you're comfortable, life is good. Outside, the birds are chirping. Inside, your heating and cooling system will be purring when you visit the pros at Comfort Specialists.
At Comfort Specialists, they know when you're comfortable, life is good. With over 70 years combined experience, their factory-trained Comfort Specialists provide you with total heating and cooling comfort. Right now, save up to $1,250 on a qualifying train system with an instant rebate. Or choose financing as low as 0%. See Comfort Specialists for all the details. They are a trained Comfort Specialist dealer, but they can service all makes, models, and brands. They're on call 24 hours a day at 1-888-524-HVAC. They're online at yourcomfortspecialists.com. That's Comfort Specialists with an S.com.
Comfort Specialists. Because when you're comfortable, life is good. Attorney General, Pennsylvania Contract Registration Number PA002058.
The 2012 Hoyt's Carbon Element RKT has set the archery world on fire, and Weaver's Archery invites you to check out this radical high-performance bow. Carbon Element RKT is the lightest yet strongest bow Hoyt has ever mastered, with futuristic carbon riser design and other Hoyt innovations. At 32 inches axle-to-axle and a mere 3.6 pounds, and loaded with all the hunt-enhancing technologies you can pack into a bow, Carbon Element RKT is the world's premier hunting bow. Hoyt and Weaver's Archery, committed to your success. Call 837-1418 and visit weaversarchery.com.
I'm married.
I'm separated.
I'm engaged.
I'm a widow.
I'm single.
I'm divorced.
I'm looking.
Christ Wesleyan Church, for people like you. Church isn't for perfect people. It's for those who know what it's like to fall and get back up again. People who realize that there's no such thing as a perfect person. Christ Wesleyan Church. Visit cwcmilton.org for people like you.
Weekdays from 10 a.m. till noon, join Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's something you got to think about. Who would play you in a movie?
Jason Bateman. Not that I had that answer ready.
And you're about what? Are you 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'3".
I'm not sure what he is, but most actors you see on television, you think they're 6 foot and they're like 5'6".
They're stumpy. Who would you, I'm thinking? Dude, for you. Jason Statham.
Statham, that's what I was going to say.
Right.
Dan will talk all things sports and more. Dan Patrick, weekdays 10 till noon and again from 7 to 10 p.m. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
Welcome back to the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors studio. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Routes 11 and 15 for Sunbury Motors Kia in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on a beautiful Friday. A little chilly maybe in some spots, but still gorgeous out there today.
There's a slight left to right breeze.
I believe they refer to it in your neighborhood as a gentle zephyr. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Love to hear from you today. Get your thoughts and comments. We've already heard from Mark Pavlik, the head volleyball coach of the Nittany Lion men's volleyball team, aiming for another Final Four appearance and a shot at the national championship. And also Joey DeBernardis, the third baseman for the Nittany Lions.
I have a question for you. It's regarding Sean Payton and his pending appeal. My question for you is, do you think the commissioner will change his ruling?
No.
I don't think so either. Because wouldn't that send the opposite message he's been trying to send?
No, I think they've already backed off on it to the point where it runs out now instead of April 1st next year, that it would run out after the Super Bowl. And that's an additional 2 months. That's enough.
And then the other side of this is with the recent release of the audio, does that mean Williams will never coach again?
In the National Football
League. National Football League.
Yes, in the National Football League.
And how is this different than what many coaches have done over the years? Is it? And this time they got caught, or is this an extreme?
I don't know what other coaches do. I can tell you on a collegiate level here at Penn State that among the coaching staff that's never happened.
I mean, do you think we're looking at an extreme here, or are we looking at something that is not unusual?
I think we're looking at an extreme. I think we're looking at an extreme. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And not only that, we'll do this while we're being recorded for documentary.
Yeah, I couldn't quite understand that. I mean, he knew there were mics and cameras in there. It's just, I mean, if you were trying to do something that you knew was not going to be approved by the National Football League or anybody for that matter, why would you go ahead and let them record what you're saying?
I don't know.
I just didn't get that either.
Maybe they thought it was all right.
Wrong again.
Yeah, well, it's big time wrong again.
I mean, this is an expensive wrong again.
Yeah, the only thing I could see happening to Sean Payton is that, say he changed it, was to change it to what it is for Mickey Loomis 8 games. But I don't think that's going to happen. Well, we have a big second hour coming up, and the phone lines are open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Matt Farron and WKOK News after CBS at the top of the hour on WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.